Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
This Friday morning, a lot developing, busy times for police once again overnight. This one on the main line of Philadelphia. This was a shooting and a car crash. It happened in the area right near City Avenue and Presidential Boulevard. This is Philadelphia's Winfield Heights section. So this one happened late last night, about 11 o'clock last night. Obviously, then the police investigation stretched into this morning, but it actually started across the highway and then went to the Longhorn Steakhouse that's in Lower Marion Township. So if you know City Ave, it obviously straddles Philadelphia County into Montgomery County. So on this one, you could see the police. They were on the scene there. Some incredible witness stories with, it looks like a crash. And then a guy gets out, 21-year-old guy. There were some six shots. He was shot at least six times, but dozens of shots fired. And so in this one, you see this, the sedan vehicle. That one was riddled with bullet holes. There were people on the SEPTA bus that thought, that were glad. They didn't know if the bus was bulletproof or what, but they ducked for cover. Crazy situation right now this morning.
Poor folks at Longhorn trying to have a ribeye and a baked potato. And
absolutely true.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. Honey, I think we should have went to Outback this time.
They're big night out, and it's like a Wild West.
Yeah. Like, oh man,
I love that spilling now into the suburbs.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's the main line.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we have an update for you as authorities are releasing some new images of a suspect as well as offering a $20,000 reward for a tip that would lead to an arrest and conviction in a case where one person is dead after being shot in the head while inside a North Philadelphia pizza shop. So we talked about this one yesterday. This is Pete's Pizza in the 2000 block of Ridge Avenue, but it's the Ridge Avenue that is closer to the city, obviously near, let's say, Girard College.
Right, not the Ridge Pike towards, you know, Plymouth Meeting.
Right, yeah. So Ridge Pike, a major roadway, but this one is closer into the city. And so this is Pete's Pizza. They've had a couple of incidents there. In this one, it looks like it may have been a case of road rage, where these two guys, there's some kind of a minor crash, and then they go into Pete's Pizza. Now it escalates with this deadly shooting. Police say the 26-year-old victim was driving a Honda. He got into that minor crash with the other older gentleman, who at the end of the day is accused of pulling a gun on the younger guy, shooting him in the head, killing him.
Jesus, it's unbelievable. I mean, it's like the Wild Wild West out there.
And
all these things happening in the vicinity of eateries. Not even safe to go out for a bite to eat.
Yeah, with that, you know, buy the guy a slice.
Yeah.
Well, pizza and peace.
DoorDash it is tonight, kids.
Right. And so now they're releasing these, and they're pretty clear images, by the way, of this suspect. But the suspect, the gunman, he leaves the store and he took off in his dark colored or black SUV vehicle. So you can see that. Yes, we will be talking a whole lot about the news that was breaking last evening. U.S. Senator Bob Casey, Democrat of Pennsylvania, making national news, dropping his bid for reelection and conceding to GOP challenger Senator-elect Dave McCormick. Congratulations again.
Yeah. Would you guys like to hear a little bit of Bob Casey's concession speech, his low-energy concession speech?
Well, it's interesting. Do you want to wake people up or have them drive over Scooper? That's your call.
At 6:08, if you're just rubbing the sleep out of your eyes, this will put you right back to sleep. But Bob Casey, hit it, buddy.
I just called Dave McCormick to congratulate him on his election to represent Pennsylvania in the United States Senate.
Yes.
As the first count of ballots is completed, Pennsylvanians can move forward with the knowledge that their voices were heard, whether their vote was the first to be counted or the last. This race was one of the closest in our Commonwealth's history, decided by less than a quarter of a point. I'm grateful to the thousands of people who worked to make sure that every eligible vote cast could be counted including election officials in all 67 counties. When a Pennsylvanian takes the time to cast a legal vote,
oh boy,
often waiting in long lines and taking time away from their work and
good
family,
night, Moon.
They
the
deserve
vote.
To know
the
that
man
their
the
vote
boat.
Will count. That's democracy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm proud of the work we've done since Election Day
yes.
to enfranchise voters across the state, mm-hmm. no matter whom they voted for,
whom,
and to ensure that the democratic process could unfold. In just a few days,
oh boy.
We built an organization of 350 staff across the state.
I would like to name them all right now.
Joined by more than 1,000 volunteers.
His hands haven't moved.
More than 6,000 Pennsylvania voters make a plan to fix small issues with their ballot. So their vote would be counted.
All right, there you go.
All right. If I ever deliver a big take with that energy level, Greg, fire me mid-big take. Turn my mic off and just throw me out into the gutter.
Pennsylvania, we'll miss him.
Yes. I'll give you McCormick's response coming up at about 6:30.
Hey, we and just for the record here, as we think about it, we really swept as far as Pennsylvania and Republicans here. At the end of the day, first of all, I will say McCormick actually gained votes, especially in Bucks County.
I know.
So that was another piece of this, and maybe they wanted to just stop talking about it because yeah. McCormick was gaining the votes.
What do you think those conversations were like? Hey, Bob, I know we're trying to do this thing, but it's making McCormick stronger. Go get your turkey and call it a day.
Free turkey.
Yeah.
So Republicans have now swept all of Pennsylvania's statewide offices in 2024, first time in the 21st century that the GOP has won the presidency and all of Pennsylvania's row offices all in the same year.
Yeah.
So little somethings for you.
Call that the Keystone State Red Wave, baby.
Yeah, we're no purple, no blue, baby.
No.
Is
nope.
that it?
That's it.
Winter weather advisory. We got to talk about the weather. You know, it's mostly in the Poconos. They're getting some serious snow.
Oh, wow.
But winter weather advisory for today in Berks, Bucks, Chester, Delaware. Where else? Lehigh, Montgomery, Northampton,
yeah.
Philadelphia.
Yeah, I saw the Lehigh Valley might get about 3 inches today.
So we might actually get a little dusting before
what?
The day is over.
No.
That's allegedly. Allegedly.
I'm going to wake up from the Friday nap and everything's going to be covered in snow. I'm going to go right back to bed.
I mean, it feels snowy this morning.
It does. You can feel it coming, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I can feel it coming.
Yes. In the air today.
So we have more than 165,000 pounds of ground beef recalled due to potential E. coli contamination.
Oh, again?
Yeah.
Again? What's up with all the E. coli?
I know.
From where? I had ground beef last night, so please tell
you
me.
You did?
Yeah.
This is why you're a vegan before.
Wolverine Wolverine Packing Company
yeah,
in Detroit.
Yeah, that's okay. Not, that's not,
both
that's
fresh and frozen.
Thank you.
That's the packaging company.
Yeah.
It was discovered. It all started out in Minnesota. So I guess the beef, the cows went from Minnesota, processed in Detroit. And the use-by date would have been November 14th.
Ugh.
So presumably you bought it and then maybe put it
in the freezer.
Yeah. Yep.
No. So check your freezer.
Yep. I'm very anti-freezing meats, by the way.
Yeah. Why?
I just feel like, especially like a steak.
Steaks you buy that day or...
Ground beef I can live with, you know, if I'm making tacos, big deal.
Sure.
But steak and chicken, if I'm going to have it, I'm going to...
Oh, chicken even, too.
Yeah.
Fish?
Really?
What about fish?
No, I'm okay with fish.
So fish you'll freeze?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want my meat tough or my poultry. I feel like it gets tough when you freeze it.
Okay.
Even if you grill it.
Likes it soft and tender.
Right.
So it's 39 degrees right now. And they are, I'm telling you, Greg, they're saying, I know you don't want to hear this.
No, I don't.
1 to 4 inches of snow.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying. Gusting winds, 35 miles an hour, and that includes South Jersey.
Ooh.
So the winter weather advisory, it's a potential, but it's through 4 p.m. this afternoon. So plan on slippery road conditions. Hazardous conditions will impact the morning commute. That's National Weather Service. I'm not the meteorologist. I'm just the deliverer.
Yes.
I'm the delivery woman.
Might be a red wine kind of Friday night for me. You know, it can be cold
that's
out,
odd.
A little snow, and pour a glass of Cabernet.
Yeah, sweetie. That's a good idea.
To stay inside.
Yeah.
We have Are you ready for a spa day? Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon. Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon. The secret to finishing your holiday shopping with three locations, Glen Mills, Springfield, Center City, at the Lowe's Hotel. Visit in person or online, josephanthony.com, where gift cards are available. That's josephanthony.com. Kale and Company, News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:14, Friday morning. Let's wrap up the week with one last big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, the Big Take this morning brought to you by Garden State Earthworks. The Big Take, gates closed. Former Congressman Matt Gaetz of Florida turned Trump Attorney General nomination is officially out of the picture. News coming down yesterday that Gaetz has withdrawn his bid to become the next U.S. Attorney General in the new Trump administration. And I always give you my honest opinion on this show. And I told you from day one that I thought Matt Gaetz had major baggage and that I was not a fan of the drama that he brings to the table. But I did say you can absolutely have the belief that he would be great at the job, but also admit that he's not a good person. Two things can be true at the same time. In fact, when Trump's administration came together and there was roughly 12 to 14 selections made at the time, I didn't even have Gaetz in my top five. But keep in mind, this is in no way a win for the left. This is in no way a loss for Donald Trump. This is actually a win for Donald Trump and his team. You get the distraction out of the way, and the truth is this. Matt Gaetz is easily replaceable. Insert Pam Bondi. Donald Trump posting on Truth Social last night, "I am proud to announce former Attorney General of the great state of Florida, Pam Bondi, as our next Attorney General of the United States." Pam was a prosecutor for nearly 20 years, where she was very tough on violent criminals and made the streets safe for Florida families. Then, as Florida's first female attorney general, she worked to stop the trafficking of deadly drugs and reduce the tragedy of fentanyl overdose deaths, which have destroyed many families across our country. She did such an incredible job that I asked her to serve on our Opioid and Drug Abuse Commission during my first term. We saved many lives. For too long, the partisan Department of Justice has been weaponized against me and other Republicans. Not anymore. Pam will refocus the DOJ to its intended purpose of fighting crime and making America safe again. I have known Pam for many years. She is smart and tough and is an America first fighter who will do a terrific job as Attorney General. And the truth is, great lawyers with a passion for justice and this country, they are a dime a dozen. So I feel fine with Pam Bondi taking over for Matt Gaetz, because unlike with mass deportations, declaring a national emergency, and using the military, which I believe is necessary and justified to clean up a major issue in this nation, life will go on in the DOJ without Matt Gaetz. The official statement put out by Gaetz yesterday is as follows. Quote, "I had excellent meetings with senators yesterday. I appreciate their thoughtful feedback and the incredible support of so many. While the momentum was strong, it is clear that my confirmation was unfairly becoming a distraction to the critical work of the Trump-Vance transition. There is no time to waste on a needlessly protracted Washington scuffle. Thus, I'll be withdrawing my name from consideration to serve as Attorney General. Trump's DOJ must be in place and ready on day one. I remain fully committed to see that Donald Trump is the most successful president in history, and I will forever be honored that President Trump nominated me to lead the DOJ, and I'm certain he will save America." And to be honest, I'm glad that Gaetz is not doubling or tripling down, not pulling a Bob Casey and wasting our time and our money. Whether Gaetz willingly stepped aside or was told by Trump that he had to go, it's now water under the bridge. Donald Trump posting on Truth Social the following after Gaetz stepped aside, saying, quote, "I greatly appreciate the recent efforts of Matt Gaetz in seeking approval to be Attorney General. He was doing very well, but at the same time, did not want to be a distraction for the administration, for which he has much respect. Matt has a wonderful future, and I look forward to watching all the great things that he will do." Matt Gaetz' wife saying the following six words. "Nobody loves America more than you," after her husband made the resignation. Look, I think it's all window dressing. I think it's all nonsense. Lots of theories out there floating around about Matt Gaetz and the motives. Here's the one that I believe is most likely to be legitimate, that Trump likely knew Gaetz wouldn't get confirmed, so he used him as a sacrificial lamb to kind of snuff out which Republicans on the Hill would bitch and complain the loudest in an effort to see who's a pain in the ass for Trump's agenda and who isn't. I think that's probably the most likely theory out there. There's another theory that Gates was being investigated, which is true. We know that, which by stepping down from Congress closes the investigation. Now he steps down before the DOJ confirmation hearing, which doesn't dredge that stuff up. He isn't in Congress anymore, but the investigation is closed, and now Gates will move to the private sector. Trump did a solid for someone who's always fought for him, and now the media has to move on to freak out about somebody else, probably Pete Hegseth, since they can't go after Gates anymore. That could be spot on as well. That could be wildly off, and the Trump administration might not have vetted him well enough or was arrogant enough to think that he wouldn't become such a highly toxic figure. Another theory that I received from a listener yesterday on social media in my DMs was the following. Quote, my whole theory on this is that Gates was always stepping down from the House before the findings were released. Trump said, I'll throw you a token nomination to troll the left for a little bit. And the plan was for him to drop out eventually anyway. Highly doubtful, but nonetheless irrelevant. Always trust your gut. My gut told me all along that Matt Gates is not a good dude. And I'm not sure that his drama would override his talents. But the truth is, I don't really need choir boys in my administration. But the reality is, he's dispensable, as evidenced yesterday. Shermichael Singleton is one of the few conservatives, along with Scott Jennings on CNN. Here's what he had to say about yesterday's bombshell. Listen and watch this.
I am not surprised. I mean, I've been on air since some of these names have come out. And the biggest questions that I've been asked, whether it's about Pete, whether it's about Tulsi Gabbard, who I know personally, it's really been about Matthew Gates. Sure, Michael, can Matthew Gates get confirmed? And as you started to see, even some very conservative, sort of ardent Trump supporters in the Senate come out and say, well, wait a minute, I want to see that ethics report. I have a lot of friends on Capitol Hill, on the House side and the Senate side, working for members, working for various committees. And the former congressman just doesn't have a lot of friends, if I'm being honest, Omar, on Capitol Hill. So it was always a bridge, I would argue, that perhaps, or a mountain that would have been too high or too steep for him to climb. And so I think he made the right decision. But Omar, this goes back to that question you asked me moments ago and to the answer that I was giving. You don't want to expend this much political capital this early when you've won an election. There are so many exciting things that you want your president, your principal, to be able to focus on. There are so many exciting things you want the cabinet secretaries to be able to focus on. There are a lot of different regulations that they may want to reverse as instructed by the executive. This is a significant distraction, and so I think the former congressman made the right decision. It now gives the transition team the opportunity to look at other names, to vet those other names well, give them to the president-elect with the greatest amount of information possible so that he can select someone else.
Translation, Matt Gaetz is not likable. He was not worth the headache, and you're not going to waste the good equity built up so far with the totality of the Trump transition moves. And remember, the latest poll shows that Donald Trump has about a 54% approval rating with the American public on his selections. That's pretty good. No need to tarnish that with Matt Gaetz. But Nick, he's on our team. Why are you trying to dunk on Matt Gaetz? First of all, Matt Gaetz is not on my team, all right? My team is 1210 WPHT. My team is my audience. My team is my coworkers and my advertisers. Just because I love Trump doesn't mean I have to love every single pick that he makes. You don't love all 53 players on the Eagles roster, do you? No. So don't start the silliness. I don't care if Benny Johnson and Charlie Kirk vouch for him on social media. I always had the feeling that Matt Gaetz was a bad dude. Now, on the flip side, I like Pete Hegseth. I think he's a far better pick for Trump than Gaetz ever was. News on Hegseth coming down yesterday as Pete released a statement as he deals with his own drama. Quote, as far as the media is concerned, the matter was fully investigated and I was completely cleared, he told reporters on Capitol Hill on Thursday. That's where I'm going to leave it, he said before walking away, before meeting with more Republican senators who will vote on his nomination. Hegseth dealing with sexual assault allegations of his own, as we know, a decorated veteran of Iraq and Afghanistan. But if I'm Trump, I'm spending far more political capital to defend Pete Hegseth than I am Gaetz, but that's just me. And I try to judge each pick on its own merit. But as I said over a week ago on the show, there were three picks that I was not a fan of. Marco Rubio, Kristi Noem, and Matt Gaetz. Those three stood out to me for numerous reasons that we discussed. I love the picks of Elon and Vivek, Bobby, Tulsi, Linda McMahon, Tom Homan, Doug Burgum, Susie Wiles, John Ratcliffe, and many others. But I was never a Gaetz guy. And I think you'll get over the Gaetz pick. The media will pivot to Hegseth. But the reality is this. It's still the Donald Trump show. The left didn't win. The media searching for relevance. And Donald Trump, although later than I'd like, made the right call. Avoid the distractions from small-time players. And keep your eye on the prize. Making America great again. You can do that without Matt Gaetz. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Brought to you by Garden State Earthworks. If you have water on your property and it's giving you a headache or soggy yards, a damp patio, or a pool area that's getting swampy, visit GardenStateEarthworks.com. It is your drainage solution. That's GardenStateEarthworks.com. Or call 856-848-4444. We'll come back, get some thoughts on Matt Gaetz, on Pam Bondi, and then the Bob Casey concession, as well as Dave McCormick taking some flack on social media for being a classy individual. I don't get it, but we'll talk about it coming up next. It's Kale and Company live here on a Friday. Nick, Dawn, and Greg on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. But first, a word from our friends at the Piazza Auto Group, and we are now closing in on 2025. So that means the 2025 lineup, they've been out there available for weeks now, specifically the Hyundai Tucson. It is the brand's most popular SUV. Its bold new design with plenty of cargo space, while its standard all-wheel drive and great gas mileage is going to keep you prepared for any adventure that life throws your way. It also protects you and your family with a best-in-class safety rating. Visit Piazza Hyundai of Pottstown, just off of 422, or Piazza Hyundai of Westchester on Route 202. Online anytime, PiazzaHyundai.com.
I'm going to bet the Brooklyn Nets, and the Sixers tonight. Not on the Sixers to win, but I have a three-leg same-game parlay that you might want to take a look at. This is all courtesy of FanDuel. FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sports book. Just go to FanDuel.com/Greg. FanDuel.com/Greg. By the way, you place a $5 bet. Your new user, $5 bet on any NBA, if you want to do this, and you can get 3 months of NBA League Pass for free. But how about this? Joel Embiid to score 10 points, 10-plus points. Tyrese Maxey to score the first basket and the under on the total points of 217.5. A $10 bet on that will win you $111. Or you place a $5 bet on that and get 3 months of NBA League Pass for free. It's all courtesy of FanDuel. FanDuel.com/Greg. FanDuel.com/Greg. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of the NBA and 1210 WPHT. 21 and over, present in PA. After 3 month free trial, the full price of League Pass will be automatically charged monthly. Cancel anytime. No refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Limit one pass per customer. See terms on sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
On the national level with Matt Gaetz, Pam Bondi, Trump's new attorney general, and of course the concession heard around the world as Dave McCormick officially your winner. We knew that. It took a couple of weeks. Bob Casey finally tapping out. Dawn, I'll start with you, though, on the attorney general front. You know, I thought it was interesting because I think Gaetz was a guy that could have been good, but I was never a fan of kind of the way he goes about some of his business. And in comes Pam Bondi, and I watched, and I had to, you know, make some alterations to the big take because this was kind of developing throughout the dinner time hours. And then I just put on a couple of the shows last night, and I went from Fox to CNN. Fox had a panel on with Laura Ingraham and a lot of people that are legal experts saying, Pam Bondi is very good. And then I put on CNN, and the Collins, the source, had Ellie Honig on, former federal prosecutor. And all of these people on all of the networks, left or right, were all in agreement that Pam Bondi is very qualified. Kind of low-key but tenacious, well-respected, has state-level attorney general experience. Your thoughts on what happened yesterday with Gaetz and then the transition to Bondi?
Yeah, well, I mean, when I heard Pam Bondi, because her name wasn't really, we knew that she was on the inner circle. She helped represent during one of the impeachment proceedings. And remember, she was very good, highly qualified. worked as an AG in Florida there for what, 8-9 years, and so she's reliable. I think she's vetted. I think that she will go through the confirmation process quite easily, and yet she's tough. You know, just one of those idiot women that Trump surrounds himself with.
Yeah, what happened to the whole narrative of he doesn't Mark surround Cuban. Himself with strong women, Mark? A lot of these women seem pretty strong to me. They seem like pistols, right?
Yeah.
And I think you get that with her without the baggage of Gates. So to me, it's a win-win, right?
I think so. I mean, I like her. I wonder what else was she up for? Because she's on the inner, she's definitely trusted, right. And she's on the inner circle.
And she was not the second in command. Remember, Todd Blanche was named the deputy AG. And I thought he was there intentionally in case the Gates thing blew up.
I believe she was always going to be the pick. They just needed to get Matt Gaetz out of the way first.
So you subscribe to the 4D chess of Trump, right? As for a lot of people saying that he did this intentionally?
I think Matt Gaetz wanted this done intentionally, and he went to Trump agreed to it. Because I know technically he won. Gaetz won re-election.
Right.
So he could be back in Congress in January.
Next January. When you have better numbers with Republicans.
But a lot of people are saying that ain't going to happen.
He wanted out.
Yeah.
It's really obvious because this ethics committee report was coming out. So two things I want to know. My questions this morning, right, with Gaetz. Yep. I don't think he'll come back in January. He could, though, to Greg's point. I mean, we're saying that.
You think he's off to the private sector out of the public spotlight?
He's his dad. Like, his dad is very wealthy. He grew up very wealthy. He's a very wealthy guy, first of all. But I think that he did not want this ethics probe, the details of it, all that testimony to come out. And I think it's, like I said the other day, I don't know what allegedly criminally might have happened, but it's super icky and he just doesn't want it to come out. Mm-hmm. So
there was a report yesterday, like 45 minutes before this actually happened, that there's a second woman, a second 17-year-old,
yes,
by the way, that
second 17-year-old
that is coming forward. So, you know,
The timing of his statement,
a lot of skeletons in old boy's closet.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure that because it's claimed that an attorney's file was hacked, I'm sure that DOJ and Merrick Garland is investigating this because you have the right to privacy, right, with your attorney.
That's correct.
And, you know, attorney-client privilege. So I'm sure DOJ has already launched a probe because
it's right at the top of Merrick's weekend to-do list.
So where's that investigation with that leaked or hacked and then leaked information from what was a private investigation by which no charges ever emerged? So we're just talking about the details of the investigation that led to the decision of no charges on multiple levels. So that's, it's important to say, but icky.
Yeah.
So I would agree with Greg that there was more to this and that Gaetz wanted out. And maybe Gaetz later on, he's named in one of these positions like some kind of a czar or whatever, so that he doesn't need a confirmation process.
True. Could very well be the case. If you guys have thoughts, I know a lot of you were Matt Gaetz fans. You can jump in, 855-839-1210. So as we mentioned, Bob Casey conceding defeat to Dave McCormick. A couple of the details coming out. As we know, voters were being tallied this week because the election vote totals fell within the 0.5% margin, which triggers a mandatory recount under state law. As of yesterday, this is according to 6abc.com, McCormick led by about 16,000 votes out of almost 7 million ballots that were counted. And for those who might not remember, this was McCormick's second run for the Senate after he narrowly lost to Dr. Oz in the 2022 primary. Republicans now with a 53-47 majority next year in the U.S. Senate. And I want to, because we've talked about this a lot, but I want to actually read Dave McCormick's tweet, which he's getting ripped for, and I don't understand why. I'm all for people that in victory have a classy gesture to somebody that they defeat. And Dave McCormick tweeted this yesterday. Senator, whether you agree with it or not, you take the high road. And I think McCormick did a nice job of this. Senator Bob Casey dedicated his career to bettering our Commonwealth. Dina and I want to extend our sincere gratitude to Senator Casey, Therese and their family for their decades of service, hard work, and personal sacrifice. I am also so honored to represent every single citizen in Pennsylvania, in the United States Senate, and will fight for you every day. Thank you. Now, that is Dave McCormick's tweet on top of, in a quote tweet, that Bob Casey tweet, which is the video that Stocker played for you that put half of our audience to sleep. And all of these people in the mentions of Dave McCormick, hardcore people, you know, like the Laura Loomers of the world, Cernovich, and a few others was saying, weak, he tried to steal it, show some will. Another tweet, you don't have to lie, bro. Laura Loomer, no, he didn't. Senator Casey imported thousands of third world invaders into Pennsylvania. He called you and Trump a threat to democracy and then tried to steal the Senate race. Can we at least allow Dave McCormick to be somewhat professional and courteous and, you know, show a little grace in victory to Bob Casey? And I don't care for Bob Casey at all. I'm glad he lost. I'm surprised he lost, but I'm glad he lost. And yeah, now we got to rip Bob. We got to rip Dave McCormick and like make it seem like he's sort of like some swamp creature, and he's one step away from being a rhino. Just do any of these grifters ever just shut the hell up and stop? I am so sick of seeing these people. Go away. Nobody knows you unless you're on X. You're not as big and important as you think you are in your little chamber. Like, my God.
I think, here's the thing. I think it's good for McCormick to just be gracious.
Yes.
And let everybody else rip on Casey.
Let us do that.
Let us. That's like all of everybody else's job.
Yeah.
So you don't have to be Trump-like, right? Because even Trump lately is more gracious with that game.
Yeah. But
you don't have to be like that. Let us, it's like, you know, Southern women, like, mm-hmm. say, oh, bless his heart, right. You know, and then let everybody else rip on him.
You know what's amazing? and I was, because Dave McCormick jumped on with Laura. I watched a lot, I don't know, I was bored out of my mind until Thursday Night Football came on. So I was watching a lot of Laura Ingraham's show, and Dave McCormick jumped on live after Casey conceded. And I thought she made a really good point. And as you know, I'm not a big fan of her show, but she made a really good point. She says, you don't have to swing and go for the fences every single time on every single thing. Sometimes you take a few pitches. You let the pitch count start to pile up. You don't need to be a flamethrower every single day on every single issue. And that really resonated with me because I don't like to blow a gasket on every single thing. Like, I'm so tired of the people in this industry that just seem like they're shouting nonstop for 4 hours on a show, or their timeline is in all capital letters. You are an exhausting individual. My God, have a Fresca and make a ham sandwich. Holy smokes.
Fresca.
Yeah, it's just, look, you know, Dave McCormick, you got the victory. That's great. But, you know, not everybody needs to be like Trump. And that's what I talk about. Like, that's why I talk about Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene, just this nonstop. You're as bad as the left. You're offended by everything under the sun. You're like, so you're being hypocritical. Like, you know, Dave McCormick, class act. By the way, Pam Bondi, she's not like Matt Gaetz. She's not a flamethrower. I don't need Trump's administration to be full of flamethrowers trying to take down the deep state. If it's not in your personality, if it's not in your DNA, that's great. Some people are more low-key. Some people let their actions speak louder than the words.
Yeah, but Nick, I will say this, that you need, you know, it's like the line in the movie, you need me up on that wall. Mm-hmm. You do need the Marjorie Taylor Greens,
yes,
and the Laura Loomers and whoever the fighters and, yep, those, and the army that we have of soldiers on, mm-hmm, social media. So it takes everybody. It takes that entire community. All I would say is that for Dave McCormick, he was trying to be above, have a moment where, mm-hmm, he was just classy. It doesn't matter anymore.
Right.
So why, you know, it's like the old saying, choose your battles, mm-hmm, right? You're not, it's over. So say something nice and gracious, and then he probably didn't even write it, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably like, oh, thank God. But the question I do have with regard to Casey and his campaign, how much money did they raise? Because I was still, even as of yesterday, Linda Kearns and I were talking, we were still getting the fundraising texts and emails. And that's really the, you know, kind of low life area of this, is that what they were really doing.
Any idea what that figure might be?
No, I mean, that's, and nobody asked the question.
Yeah.
How much money did you raise? between the time in which, you know, Election Day happened,
right,
and then they knew that they, the first they were pushing for the recount.
Mm-hmm.
And I still want to know how much in play, because it was razor thin. Then we learned McCormick had more votes, which they probably knew was coming in, depending on where they were counting.
Yeah.
So what really bumped it to the recount? What triggered it?
Mm-hmm.
And so that puts into play, that's also a question for the Secretary of State here in Pennsylvania, Al Schmidt. You know, because I think he's, let's be honest, I don't think he's this strong. He's not this bastion of strength, in my humble opinion. I don't think that he was in there going, guys, not for nothing, but there's no way that these numbers add up. This is not going to change a thing. Let's just save the people of Pennsylvania the million-plus dollars. It's like $1.3 to $3 million that this thing costs. So that's why I just wonder, how much did you raise with all those fundraisers? Hey, we're doing the recount, just $5, just $10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How much?
Yeah. Interesting. Just to wrap up, too, on the Trump stuff with his, you know, his administration, I'm going to give you a perfect example of two different personalities that I think are authentic, that are completely opposite. Elise Stefanik, I think she's a flamethrower. I love her. What she did to Claudine Gay on Capitol Hill during the anti-Semitism stuff, during the Ivy League protests, was just tremendous. I think that's why she's got a spot as a UN ambassador. I think that's authentically her, I really like
smart
that.
Smart cookie.
Yep. And then Tulsi Gabbard is, I think, the complete opposite. She's, and again, not that Elise Stefanik's not well-spoken, but Tulsi's very mild-mannered. You know, she's eloquent. She doesn't shout. She's not an attention seeker. But I know she's effective, and I know she's a badass. Have you seen the videos with her with the artillery? I mean, a former veteran. You don't want to mess with Tulsi Gabbard. But she's not fake, and she's not seeking out attention. So I think there's different people in this administration that Trump has picked. And I think flying under the radar, the last thing I'll say is, you talk about unity. I think Trump has created such a wider, diverse, united Republican front. Think about what Trump's movement is right now. You have, it's like three different little sectors, right? You have rock solid conservatives, you have America First populists, and you have disenfranchised Democrats, all kind of coalescing around Trump. And I think when we talk about unity, that is a way under the radar concept right now when you look at what he is building, because it's not just everybody's of the same mold, of the same genre, of the same mentality, yet they all have kind of rallied around a few commonalities. And I love that about this administration so far. So just wanted to wrap with that. 855-839-1210. We'll come back, put a bow on the 6 o'clock hour. Is Bud Light trying to make a comeback? Will it work? Shane Gillis, come on down. But was the ad funny? We'll talk about it coming up next here on Kale & Company.
It's Kale & Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
MSNBC, boy, what a week it's been for that network. We'll give you some of those latest details. And a very good story written by Bobby Burak from OutKick on the whole election about how Trump didn't radicalize the Republican Party. The Democrat Party radicalized itself in trying to destroy him and all of his supporters. How the left missed the mark. We'll get to that coming up in the second hour. Super, super good story. I've got some thoughts on that. But as we wrap up the hour, let's get to, because yesterday we played you the Jaguar commercial, Jaguar, however you say the high-end luxury automobile manufacturer, and they're jumping headfirst into the woke waters with goofy ads that don't really cater to their audience, and they will probably either be boycotted or fail to grow their market share. But one company that I think is the epitome of missing the mark and trying to bounce back is Bud Light. I think we're all kind of fans of Shane Gillis on this show. We think he's pretty funny. It's good to see him back after being canceled. And Bud Light has said, you know what? We have to recover from Dylan Mulvaney. what the hell, let's try Shane Gillis. I want to play this latest Bud Light ad for you. I know a lot of people have officially said they will never go back to drinking Bud Light, or you were not a Bud Light fan to begin with. Anyway, Bud Light was always my light beer of choice before the Dylan Mulvaney thing. I personally have lifted the boycott. I think they've served their sentence. But let's play this ad and see what you think of this. Shane Gillis for Bud Light, clip K1, go ahead.
It is not just a fragrance. It is a feeling. It is a passion.
What? Oh, where'd you get a snake?
We are all lost.
Yeah, I'm lost. I'm 100% lost here.
But we are on the edge.
Hey, all right. Is this pocket full of sand? That's, yeah. Hey, I think I'm in the wrong commercial.
What?
Yeah, dude, this isn't right.
Wait, aren't you Andre?
No, I'm Shane. My name's Shane.
Huh. Oh, I see what's going on. You're supposed to be in a Bud Light commercial.
Oh, I'm supposed to be in a Bud Light. I'm supposed to be in a Bud Light commercial, not here. So that's why I'm like, I'm the odd one out down here.
Hmm. Well, if you're here, Andre is...
Different about you, man.
It's fun.
I just ordered some wings in that other commercial. You think they're going to make it here? You blue cheese guy, ranch girl. You're a ranch girl.
You're a ranch.
You have like blood or something?
It's a woman with like a snake.
That's good. That's really good.
That's pretty good, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty good. So
that's hysterical.
I think they kind of take a little bit of a shot at themselves in the beginning with being in the wrong place and the wrong setting. Yep. And then what's going on upstairs is really what you want to cater to. I thought pretty good, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. I would agree that that is it's a good ad. I don't think that at this point, I don't know if it really matters.
A little too late, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
I think that they, this is like 2 years too late, honestly.
It is.
When Nick brought this commercial to my attention, I was like, wow, are we really still talking about Bud Light?
It's pretty remarkable, right?
But
I don't know where their market share is. I don't know if they're still down 30%. We stopped tracking it after a while because it got a bit redundant. Maybe they've kind of chopped away at that deficit that they lost. I don't know. But I think most people are kind of pretty much dug in that was it for them with Bud Light. But not a bad ad, though.
I will say, though, that I remember when the height of the Bud Light, all that craziness was going on. And
yeah, that was, what, spring of 23?
Yeah. And so Larry and I were at a concert in the Wells Fargo Center, and he went, and I think they were somehow we ended up with, like, free Bud Lights.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no, thanks. I'll buy a Miller Lite. Like, seriously, I just was like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people were like that.
And so I'm not at that place anymore.
No, neither am I. I've had Bud Light in the last 6 months.
So,
yeah.
I think the Shane Gillis thing was smart.
Yeah.
And that commercial's funny.
Yep. It just goes to show you, to all these companies, stop trying to recreate things. Stop trying to invent that. What's the old adage? Keep it simple, stupid. You're a beer company. You're a car company.
Shafe on the YouTube chat says, when I see Bud Light, I see Dylan Mulvaney. I think that's the problem. It's really hard to shake that image.
It is.
Which is not the image that Bud Light was trying to go for, I don't think, but stepped in it anyway.
Yeah, they did. And now Jaguar doing the same thing. All right, Kaling Company Hour 2. We'll get some news to kick off the 7 o'clock hour. More of a mess for MSNBC and how Kamala Harris campaigned on joy, but it's the Republicans having all of the fun. All of that before we get to the cut sheet coming up at 7:45. Back after this on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.